Welcome, my name is Maxwell Clonard-Ashworth, taking the opportunity to sit down with Jeremy Tools from Union Hand Roasted here at the Business Design Centre in Islington in the lead up to Cafe Culture this year. Jeremy, would you like to tell the listeners a bit about who you are and what you do?
Thanks, Maxwell. Jeremy Tours. I'm co-founder of Union Hand Roasted Coffee along with Stephen Macatonia. We've been adventuring in coffee since the mid-90s, since before coffee, takeout coffee came in a paper cup. Polystyrene cups, I think, were the
those are the days.
Of the day. Yep. And we've always seen ourselves kind of at the leading edge of what's going on in the coffee scene in the UK through the, I suppose, the first coffee bar development. We tend to call it sort of, I don't know whether we call it second wave or third wave now, but certainly the first bar operations. And as that sort of developed further into a sort of a wider market for coffee, whether it's in grocery retail or whether it's in the rise of the independent coffee shops, it's an area we've been really excited to be in over, what now, 20 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible to have that unique perspective of such a time span. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of things change. And I'm sure some things have stayed the same. There's some core values, I'm sure, that are still the same. Mm. With Cafe Culture coming up, and you know, I'm sure you've been involved in lots of trade shows. I've seen you on the circuit. What we tried to do when we sort of evolved Cafe Culture as a proposition last year was to go, what are people calling out for as coffee businesses and build the show around that? What is it you see as a business? You know, you think about Union, you think, you know, what is it we're interested in the marketplace? Where is our focus? I mean, I know it's a hard question to answer because I'm sure there's lots of channels for Union.
Yeah, I think what we've always tried to do is to find who is going to be the enthusiastic coffee consumer in the next sort of couple of years. There's the industry has become very excited and very good at talking to itself, and I think that's a criticism that many of us would recognize.
And it's fair. I'd say that's fair.
And it's how do we find the people that are, you know, not necessarily already buying from a small specialty roaster? How do we tempt them from one roaster to another? But how do we tempt them still from the instant coffee consuming world, or the, let's call it, the value coffee? And I would argue with that's a valid phrase, knowing a lot of coffee producers that I do. But how do we move people up? As somebody said to me when we first started selling pre-packed coffee by Union, well, it's difficult to get people to spend more because they already see roast and ground coffee as posh coffee.
Yeah, they're premium. The bar's set for them. It's hard to go above it. Yeah.
But that's an interesting place to be because, you know, when I talk to particularly people in the food service industry, you know, I often say to people, you know, the bar is set remarkably low. And I think for those of us, any of us who live and breathe our work in cafes and in the specialty movement, those days when you see that person, that customer come in, they get the coffee from the bar, they turn around to walk towards the door and they stop halfway across the shop as they take that sip and go, wow, actually that's good. They don't know why it's good, and that's our job to know and our job to put it in front of them. But those opportunities still exist. And, you know, we've got very good at getting coffee out into independent food shops in the rise of coffee bars. But there's many hotels and restaurants that you go to still nowadays where the coffee is, quite frankly, just shocking.
Mm.
And it's an afterthought.
And ultimately, I guess, I agree. But really what you need there is you got your end consumer, but ultimately to get to them, you have to go through a buyer, really.
Indeed.
And so, you know, their attitudes need to change, which I think as the narrative, especially coffee, has gone more mainstream, more of those buyers are aware that coffee is, well, also coffee's growing. So they're like, oh, actually, this is an important part of our business. We need to start thinking about that. And something I've come across is quite a few of those people go, okay, we need to think about this now, but we don't really understand it. And so part of the job is that education, which I know for a while education was a bit of a word people didn't like in coffee because they felt it was all about lecturing, etc.
I don't think it's necessarily about lecturing. I agree with you on that. What I think it is about is transparency. And the coffee industry has, particularly when you look at the food service market, some of the bigger, more institutional roasters who wrap these commercial deals up with free on loan equipment and built-in servicing. It's like, as a coffee buyer, you know, it's like saying, well, I buy ethical coffee because the landed price that I pay is very high. But if you don't have understanding of the value chain there and where the value is going, So as a buyer in food service, all you're looking at is the line, the coffee spend line on the P&L.
Mm.
There are many different ways to cut that up, and there are many ways to actually get better, let's call it value, when you and I know value doesn't necessarily mean the lower price, but it's the best return, whether it's consumer experience or guest experience in a food and beverage environment. But that money can often be spent much more wisely and yield many more benefits.
Mm.
And I think that's the kind of education job that we've got to do.
Mm.
And I suppose that's what Union Hand Roasters is here to do at Cafe Culture this year, is to talk about those sort of aspects of what makes great coffee doable for the larger customer or the corporate user or the hospitality user.
And on those users, you know, how much, I mean, you mentioned those, you know, food service, etc. Well, how do you feel about the workplace? I mean, there's a crossover there, but you know the office market's really changed in London. Mm. And you know, great coffee is becoming part of the, you know, the brand proposition to a potential tenant of saying, you know, we can offer you X, Y, Z. And I think that then also feeds into the restaurant, right? If the independent shop's doing great coffee, but also the office is saying, hey, we're going to have great coffee too. And then, you know, the restaurant.
Yeah, there's more and more places. I mean, it's certainly in London, and I apologize to anybody listening outside of the city or the M25. But I see this happening in the major cities around the UK. You know, for somebody working in often sort of corporatized environments, with where these businesses are located and what's on offer inside, it's almost getting hard to get a bad cup of coffee. We've certainly worked with a number of boutique sort of catering service or facilities management companies, and that's been an important part of what we've done over the years. And you know, whether it's interesting, because the facilities managers in the businesses or the catering managers in there, they've integrated much more in the productivity conversations. So the cafes in businesses are, we used to call them the water cooler conversations, but the cafe spaces are being carved out because they're creative zones for a lot of businesses. You know, coffee's been around most of the great sort of societal and philosophical advances in civilization, whether you call it the left bank of the Paris cafes that sponsored drove the Enlightenment. But today's workplaces, those are the places where we get a great cup of coffee and we mull over problems together. And those businesses want to keep their staff creative moments inside the building where the staff can be productive, not wandering up and down the high streets, sort of taking too much time out of work.
Yeah.
So there's been a sort of a cost-based reason for them to develop, but it's become cultural. And there's certainly a lot of work that we do. We put some amazingly good quality coffee into some workplaces around London and the UK, and we spent a lot of time training staff in there as to how to be great baristas and serve that coffee to the same standards you would get in a boutique coffee shop.
Yeah, 100%. It's fascinating. Then, and that definitely has been a huge change. Obviously, I think Union's been known for many things, very positive impact on the coffee industry, and you know that passionate values that you have as a business and a brand. You're also known for being probably the first roastery of that approach to be in a multiple supermarket. Mm. And you know, this sort of brings, I mean, you have your coffee club and the sort of direct consumer. Obviously, we just talked a lot about working with businesses and working with those, you know, those managers and those buyers to offer a great experience, whether it's into a cafe but going through to the customer via those businesses. You know, how do you feel about the challenges of going direct to a customer?
Well, I don't think it's an either or situation. I think I certainly, when you talk about having coffee out of the home, I think people look for the name of the roaster in the same way that we might look for which brand of gin or craft brewery, you know, a bar or a restaurant is offering.
Mm.
I think there are partnerships that we have with food and beverage operators where, you know, we bring joint strengths to that sort of offering. Our role as the coffee roaster is to give credibility to the quality and the ethics and the values of the coffee that's being served there. So yes, we do. We've always done a huge amount of work, as you said, on our sourcing, wanting to make sure that we work responsibly with primary producers, and we bring those values all the way through. That's where the name Union came from.
And
Stephen and I visited Origin in the year 2000 when prices were even lower than they are today, and we just thought, how do we bring the producer and consumer together to share those stories? And hence Union Hand Roasted Coffee. And I think if we can bring those stories and bring the quality message forward under our name, then when people encounter us, whether it is in the workplace or a cafe or a restaurant, they have a sense of trust. They know that the coffee is coming from Union, and therefore it's going to be of a great standard with the right values behind. So I don't see being made available in the supermarkets is sort of a crime. I know many people the specialty coffee industry think scale is the devil. But I think we, as a specialty industry, have a lot to learn from the larger industry. Certainly when you recognize the size of the specialty coffee market,
well, is it simply
versus
about
everything that's grown, we're not going to be able to change that world on our own. But we need to we need to give people a cause to say, I understand we need to pay a little bit more for coffee.
Yeah, I think if you decide that your values around specialty coffee are that it needs to remain niche and boutique, you've also, in doing that, decided that you would like your impact to be small. And so I think
you can take that view and you can use it as an accelerator. So, you know, I always said years ago that, you know, you look at the olive oil stand in a supermarket and there are like 20 price points all the way up from value to super premium. Coffee never had that on the fixture. We're starting to see that more now. And I think Union's played a role in getting people to see that there it's worth paying a little bit more for a wow cup of coffee. And, you know, I don't think that challenges us because we still have our supply into the supermarkets is very lean, very short. We don't have lots of packs sitting in distribution centers around the country. So you're still getting a pretty fresh pack of coffee when you pick us up in a Waitrose or a Sainsbury's. You would also then still have the opportunity, should your interest in coffee be piqued by this amazing pack that you brought, to then go to our website and buy online so you can get direct to the roastery.
That's actually what I was going to ask you was, you know, because effectively the supermarkets are not direct to consumer. You sell to the supermarket, they sell to the consumer. And I was just going to ask you about sort of online for Union. And is that a big part of the business? Is it something you're focusing on? Or
yeah, it's an area that we've dabbled in. We're not an e-business. And I think that many of us sort of have a look at the sort of web-based sales and direct sales and realize you can get it to a point after which you need probably a lot of cash and a lot of investment to actually bring those customers in. It's almost a different business. Well, it is a different business in itself. I think we have an aspiration to do something in that area, but I think we will grow it much more organically based on reputation.
Yeah, I think I spoke to somebody who ran a CEO of e-com only coffee business, and they said, you know, a lot of people see you sell straight to that consumer, and they're like, oh, you know, we get all that margin. And you look at the margins you have to go into retailers or into supermarkets, and he said, you know, it's a bit of an illusion, because online the money that you would give the supermarket to sell your coffee, online you just give that to Google or Facebook ads. Mm-hmm.
Every business channel has its costs, you know, whether it's a cafe where you're paying staff and rents, you know, whether it's an online business where that same spend goes into marketing. I don't think there's a get rich quick scheme in coffee. If there is, I certainly haven't discovered it.
You've had a go at it for 20 years.
Been chipping away. I think the interesting area that I don't think we've yet seen develop fully, though, is what I would call accessible direct to customer. And that is working with the supermarkets. If you look at a lot of the way that specialty coffee is sold in the sort of what they would call the gourmet supermarkets in the US, where very often, whether it's in each sort of state, there'll be a strong local roaster.
Yes.
We'll have a branded fixture in the supermarket with bean dispensers and silos and that, where people will engage with that. I know that's been tried several times over the years in the UK, and it's always seemed to fail. But I think we're now getting a nice sort of convergence between people that are looking to reduce packaging which is a big impetus to actually start getting in there and picking things up off shelf and filling your own bag or container. We're starting to play that. We've got an interesting trial that we're doing with John Lewis in Oxford Street, where we're actually delivering direct from the roastery each week some micro lot coffees that will be sold fresh.
Wow.
In store, the kind of mimicking that or mimicking a bakery behavior.
Yes, absolutely.
So we're looking at, is there a way that we can work on that?
That's really interesting, yeah.
And I think if we can, bridging that sort of gap, we're offering sort of what will be a changing collection of micro lot coffees, roastery fresh to the customer in a primary retail environment.
Interesting, yeah. And I mean, ultimately, a lot of it is that behavioral change that you need from the organization. But also, sometimes it's surprising how quick that change happens when a topic does become so important to people, in terms, especially driven a lot by packaging and sustainability and waste. So I think, you know, there was a time when people say, oh, you know, they'll never do it, you know, and that still happens. But I think it's interesting how much change could actually happen in the way people buy coffee. Yeah.
And I think there's more openness to experiment nowadays. Certainly retailers are being challenged in many different ways, and they're looking for
USPs,
workable and partnerships, yeah. and where, again, as you know, we can bring a strength to it, but through our knowledge of the coffee, the what people respond to, how to talk about it to the customer as well, and that's often where the retailer or the outlet can be lacking. So that education, I suppose it's what I've tried to develop in Union over the years, is a kind of an approach that says sort of quality, capability, and consistency. You know, I think whether we're applying that to what we're doing in retail or particularly in terms of the food service area, trying to get those restaurants and those hotel groups to sort of engage, they need an experienced partner, but one who understands the journey they're looking to go on, not on the cost savings that can be held in the background. And
that's the capability side, right? Yeah.
Capability, and but in terms of being able to, what we want to do, which is scale that speciality space. So how can you work with, and I think this chimes with a lot of what has been discussed in like Allegra reports around the fifth wave. It's the business of coffee now. And how do we sort of make that the next sort of engine to
creativity
drive.
And absolutely. That's where the innovation happens now. Fascinating. Yeah. And so at the show, your Union Hand Roasted will have a stand. I also believe you're taking part in some of our talks programs.
That's right. Yeah, I think the Aletta, our exciting MD, who brings a wealth of experience from development and the coffee supply chain, will be doing a presentation, and we'll also be doing on the stand, talking to people that are interested, exactly as I've said, about that quality, capability, and consistency piece that we strive to deliver as a professional roaster, who looks at everything that we do on a daily basis. So to make sure that the consistency of the green coffee that we're sourcing is there, the roasting protocols that we're using, so that the coffee that is actually arriving at the restaurant or the hotel is exactly what people expect to be working with on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting what you're saying, because I think that's really one of our goals we had when we all got together to sort of redesign cafe culture a bit. And, you know, I'm not a massive fan of the waves, to be honest, but I do think, you know, using that, really, we want cafe culture to be this, you know, where we get people together, you know, who are all part of that fifth wave, to, you know, it's ultimately going, look, business in coffee is exciting, it's creative, you know, and how can we run an event that helps us all get into one space and push it forward?
And I think that's what we need to show. And I think it's what I've always wanted to do as Union Hand Roasted. We've always wanted to look professional about what we do. And I think that led over the years people to think, because we did proper packaging and we did sort of hopefully nicely designed sort of communication materials, I think it's like being appropriately dressed to go to work. But a lot of people looked inside, it's a bit slick, a bit corporate, they must be a huge company, and they sort of bypassed us without sort of considering us. So we tried to sort of have the conversation, say, actually, no, we're still a relatively small team of people who are just super passionate about what we do. But we've made it our job to be very professional about understanding all the elements that need to go into. And, you know, coffee is a wonderful, wonderful industry to work in. And there can be, depending on what you're looking to do, very low bars to entry cost-wise. There's some wonderful coffee shops, some wonderful roasteries around the country. But it does worry me that a lot of these businesses are still, I don't want it to sound the wrong way, but hobby businesses.
No, 100%. Before we were talking to John Richardson before, something he sees directly as a consultant, that's definitely passion / hobby businesses. And, you know, the low barrier to entry is interesting because that's kind of great. People can
get it. But it doesn't force you to really consider your sort of business mortality.
No. Well, you're forced at some point.
Yes.
So, and I think that's what I think that there's more awareness than ever before of that. Mm. You know, more people have taken part and it isn't a get-rich-quick industry. Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And I think you see some consolidation, you see some business projects closing, and that's also a natural part of business, of course. There was, I think, you know, when something starts, it's sort of like the golden haze of specialty coffee businesses opening everywhere. But after a few years, it gets to a crunch point. But at the same time, you know, that's a bit of a doom and gloom narrative.
No, I don't.
There's lots of opportunity.
I think there's much more opportunity still out there.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I would agree with you. I don't want to think that we're sort of reaching peak coffee. I would hate to think that's happened. I don't think it has.
No,
I think there are, as I said earlier,
it's more of a shift in terms of, is that?
It's an opening up, you know, if anything, is it the democratization of coffee, you know,
it's very democratized actually as an industry. There's very little intellectual property. It's actually a really interesting point, but that also makes it challenging from a business point of view. But yeah, it's you know, it's the pros and cons of the marketplace. Yeah,
but there's many places that are still, as I said, many places still to discover the joys, and I think that's what keeps us all going, probably.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Jeremy, for your time. It's been wonderful to talk to you and hear about your thoughts on the industry and what you do at Union Hand Roasted, and we can't wait to see you at the show.
Looking forward to it. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.